Today, we're back with a bonus emergency podcast because the Nintendo Switch 2 was revealed yesterday. We wanted to sort of sit with our thoughts for a bit and do a little bit more research on the reveal and then come back to you with our deeper thoughts and analysis on like what all happened. What does this mean? How is Nintendo thinking about this? Like all of those deeper questions, we're going to answer those today.
Bonus podcast, you know, it must be serious business. And this is something I enjoy about the new console cycle is the thing happens, it gets announced. And then there's this interesting time where some more information trickles out. People really go through the materials with a fine-tooth comb.
Yes.
So we do have some new things to talk about today beyond our instant reaction, which we did just yesterday.
Yeah. You know, you start reading a lot of things about this. You get on that Nintendo.com, read through their press release, look at what other people are sort of noticing as well. It's so much fun to kind of do a deeper dive. And I think one thing that's really interesting that we wanted to talk about is like, what does this all mean for Nintendo? Like Nintendo never does anything without some sort of plan in mind. This is a really interesting reveal for them. And we think that this can signal some clues about how they're looking at Switch 2, how they're looking at this transition from a highly, highly successful, hardware cycle for Switch 1 into this new hardware era. So we want to talk about all of that too. So yeah, this should be really fun. And we haven't really talked to each other for a bit. So this is going to be the first time we're going to be sort of discussing it together. I'm excited.
Well, let's begin to read Nintendo's mind here. And something we touched upon briefly in our reaction is around the fact that this was shadow dropped, mm-hmm. this reveal video. This was not pre-promoted, causing a real tizzy in the community on, Wednesday? Into Wednesday night?
Wednesday was a real...
People were doubting that. Did you lose faith? I want to put you on the spot and ask you, did you lose faith? To me, it seemed like maybe you did.
I did towards the end of the day. I was like, this is such a strange thing for Nintendo not to do their typical 24-hour pre-promotion. Something has to be really different about this for them to make that decision. And at night, you know, sort of late into Wednesday evening around 10 o'clock, I was still sort of thinking about it. And we had made some decisions as well. Like we put our podcast out early just in case there was some sort of shadow drop on Thursday morning. But as I was thinking about it Wednesday night, I did go through in my mind, you know, a few scenarios as to why Nintendo would be shadow dropping this thing. So I sort of did a full circle. Like Wednesday at 5, I was like, oh man, this might not happen. And then Wednesday at like 10, I was like, I think this is still happening. But I feel like there's some reasons behind a shadow drop that we definitely need to talk about. You never lost faith.
Because, you know, the people who were out there making these claims remained steadfast in those claims as people were coming at them saying, oh, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Yeah. They said, just you wait. Mm. So I said, okay, well, if they're still confident, then I lean towards believing them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue to do that. I think, you know, two things to talk about here. Like when we get close to these sorts of announcements, so many people go to what is the pattern of the announcement of the past?
Is it, yeah.
You mentioned it before, the 24 hours pre-promotion this is how they did it back in 2016. So that's a blueprint for how they could do it before.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's very important for people to take note of like, yes, there are patterns, there are cycles that are convenient for Nintendo, but how terrible would your marketing department be if you were like, well, all we can do is this pattern. That's all we got. You know, you need to be able to assess the situation and come up with the plan that works best versus like, well, this is all we know how to do. I guess we better do it again.
Yeah. And Nintendo sometimes has a mentality of the former of like, we have a blueprint, we have a roadmap for how these things typically go. So we're a very conservative company. We met with this kind of discussion a lot at Nintendo, and Nintendo would be very process driven, very sort of habits driven, but you're absolutely right. I think as good marketers, like a lot of times we were the ones telling Nintendo like, no, we should not follow the blueprint this time. Here are the strategic reasons why. And, you know, I think there was that conversation that happened within Nintendo as they were discussing how best to do this reveal. And they obviously came to the conclusion that doing a shadow drop is the right approach. So yeah, so it is really interesting. Like, as much as there are a company of sort of formulas and process, yes, they are going to be assessing the situation and thinking about what is the best way to do something in the moment for that thing.
Right. So again, that's just kind of, you know, a takeaway for people, which is like, yes, these processes and these cycles have existed, but, you know, it's their company. They have free will. Just because something is not following one of those cycles, you know, don't just imply that it can't happen.
Right.
So I did. Another reason I was confident was that I had this epiphany, and I have this in our Discord. I have the proof stamped in there. I said, you know, they've lost this sense of control, which they want. They love the sense of control and this sense of surprise because of all these leaks that have happened with this thing. And what's the one thing that they still have left that they have control over is when people get this information about when this video is coming. So to kind of artificially create a sense of surprise, you can shadow drop it. Because guess what? People were on pins and needles. People every hour. People were every half hour, people were refreshing. Oh my gosh, when's it going to happen? Is it going to happen? And there was genuine surprise when it happened our 5 a.m., extremely early. I happened to be asleep, but the surprise was there. So they were able to manufacture it. It was all they had left.
Yes, you did call that. We both kind of was talking about that even like a little bit before we did our reaction is that, yeah, once you lose control and once the leaks have taken over, you know, Nintendo loves to surprise and delight, as they like to say. And that was sort of the only thing they had left is the timing. The other thing that I was thinking about a lot after, you know, the pre-promotion never came to fruition and it became the shadow drop thing is this is classic Nintendo expectation management, which we talk about a lot. Nintendo only pre-promotes stuff, and even their pre-promotion is very like short. It's like a 24 hour. Sometimes they have a 48 hour pre-promotion. We did get like a very long pre-promotion for that Switch 2 Focus Direct in April, but that's very rare, as you guys know who are following all these patterns. And their sort of mantra and thought process always is, if you have something to pre-promote, you have to be, you know, you have to have that sort of sense of, I am confident in the thing that I'm revealing, and it's going to be a real hit among the people watching. If they don't have that confidence, they don't want to artificially raise people's expectations. And I think in their minds, doing pre-promotion for this trailer would have raised people's expectations. Especially because everything leaked. So I think that was the other part of why no pre-promotion, why was this a shadow drop, is one, yes, they wanted to get the control back to artificially create that sense of surprise and delight. Two, they really were concerned about expectation management because they knew there was no surprises really left in that trailer itself that they can share with people. So yeah, those two things really came to light in my head like 10 p.m. on Wednesday night. And then I was like, okay, I better be ready. I was asleep, but I was like, I better wake up a little earlier and just be aware that this might happen. And we had a bunch of plans in place to make sure that we, you know, we're on top of it. But yeah, we did kind of come full circle Wednesday night, which was fun.
Right, right. And yeah, you know, there was the question of like, well, are they going to change the plans because of the leaks? And I think this was always the date, but they do have the flexibility in how they pre-promote. So that might have been something that happened around the start of the year, you know, kind of down to the moment as all these leaks were happening and they just started to pile up of like, we might need to change the way that we put this out there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the thing itself, the video. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes, 20 seconds or so. About half of that is this kind of console flyby, snippets of the new Mario Kart game, and then just kind of some flashes of informative screens about backwards compatibility, these hands-on sessions, the Direct. Why do you think they went with this format? It's definitely not the same as the 2016 reveal. It's very different from that, a big departure. Why do you think they picked this?
Yeah, I think, you know, we kind of called it, at least I was sort of convinced that it was going to be more of that like traditional sort of hardware flyby type of reveal versus it being like a very like lifestyle, almost movie like storytelling type of thing with, you know, the hip hop song in the background. You know, it is a different time for Nintendo. They are going from one very successful hardware into one that's iterative. I think it's still going to be great and cool. And we talked about this a lot, but it's not that like new, brand new surprise, wow, I've never seen this before kind of moment. So I think that they, you know, wanted to have a bit more of a straightforward approach. They wanted to absolutely tell you, you know, the one message I think they wanted to get out in this reveal is, how is this thing different from the original Switch? Which is why you saw that animation where the Switch 1 is like morphing into Switch 2. It's definitely a more straightforward thing than the Switch, the original Switch reveal trailer. But I think that's because it's a very iterative approach to this new hardware. So again, in the sense of like managing expectations and making sure people just got the straightforward information, I think that was what their aim was with this reveal. I do think they somewhat achieved it, even though it wasn't as like flashy and as like sort of, you didn't get that like emotional, like wow moment you did with the original Switch reveal.
Yeah, I agree that clearly showing, hey, this is not the same Switch, it's different, look very closely at these differences, you know, however small they may be, it's harder to do in a lifestyle setting when, you know, you got the guy going through the airport, or Karen doing a rooftop party. Like, you kind of can't do that cleanly, so it was a little dry. But yeah, kind of in hindsight, the hardware flyby and kind of one morphing into the other did get that across. So if that was their priority, that was done, I guess, as cleanly as they could have done it. I had one other thought. This kind of a small aside, which is, we've talked about how the Switch 1 reveal video vanished off of the YouTube, the official Nintendo YouTube channels at one point. You know, we pointed out, like, well, they probably got some agreements with those actors and with the music that they used that they didn't get forever, unfortunately. And for this one, there's no actor. There's not a human being in this video. The music seemed to me to be just kind of generic, you know.
Or original music.
Rights-free or original music. You know, something
written
somebody
for
just put
the
together.
Trailer itself.
Certainly
right.
Not from any known like group or anything like that. So seems like, you know, maybe they heard us. You know, maybe they said, yeah, we really should be able to just have this thing up. This is an important piece that people will want to go back to over the years. So they did sort of sidestep that with this format.
Yeah, I think this is, again, this is a format that works for lots of other companies that reveal hardware. Like, a lot of people do this kind of like very straightforward type of trailer to reveal new hardware. So yes, as sort of straightforward and as maybe a bit more less flashy than they've done in the past for, you know, the Switch reveal, this is a very practical approach. And it gets the message across. You don't have to deal with the right stuff. You just, you know, you're very straight, in a very straightforward way, you're able to communicate what you need to communicate and have this thing available for people to watch for however long they want to watch it. So it's like one of those things where it's like, don't fix what's not broken. And like, that's kind of what it is, you know?
Now I'm going to ask a very provocative question that came to mind. So we only saw one game in this video.
Yeah.
And we only saw that game for sub 10 seconds.
I was going to say, yeah, a few seconds.
Versus the original Switch video where we got, I don't know, a half dozen games that we saw, you know, kind of that same degree of length. You got a good glimpse at all of those. Does this give you any concern that maybe these games are coming in real hot and maybe we're not ready to be put in here? And it's like this, you know, Mario Kart, this is the one that's furthest along. This is the one that looks cleanest. That's the thing that we can show. And everything else, we've got this big milestone in April where it'll all be ready.
100% yes. Especially because that April date for the next like batch of information is so much later than I expected. I really thought that they were going to have this reveal and then maybe like in mid-February or even the end of February, they would do some sort of big, you know, games UI sort of reveal plus hands-on. I thought it was going to be much closer. And we had a discussion in the last podcast about how important it is at Nintendo for the announcement and the hands-on time to be as close as possible. Because even in this situation where you have a new, you know, a new piece of hardware, yes, it is very similar to the old piece of hardware, but you're going to want to get it into somebody's hand so that they can experience it, experience the differences from a Switch 1 to a Switch 2 for themselves, and to wait nearly 4 months between the two things of a reveal and that April event was really far away, from my opinion. And I think that points to these games are just coming in hot, and they don't got them yet. They can't confirm things. They can't confirm those details just yet. So yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch, because that will really spell the success or failure of this launch.
I do think it's true, but I also don't know if it's cause for concern, because this is what happens with every new hardware launch. Like, everything is super down to the wire. And, you know, we would be in these meetings, like when we were there, it was like, oh, you know, this thing, they had this small hiccup and that's going to impact them this way. Or, oh, can you believe it? This thing's ahead of schedule. It's a miracle. This one's going really cleanly through lot check. That's great. It's a bumpy ride with these new consoles, because the system is getting built alongside it. Like, the system that it is intended to play on is being pieced together while you're making this game. So it's just such a unusual situation for these developers to be in. So again, it's like, I do think it's true, and maybe that impacted what they could show in this video, but it doesn't really cause me too much concern, because it's not really out of the ordinary.
You are doing that thing where you're like building the plane while you're flying it.
Exactly.
Which is very typical for hardware launches. I'm not saying that like everyone panic. They're going to get it done.
So I shouldn't panic? I mean, ready to panic.
You can if you want.
Okay.
Please do. Please do. Feel free. Do what you want. I'm saying, like, I feel like no matter what, they're going to get it done, because they always get it done. You know, they will finish the games. Don't worry. But it is interesting. The timeline is just a lot more wide between the reveal and the hands-on.
And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but again, you know, there was no launch date announced for this versus the original Switch, which again could imply that there's some wiggle with some of these games. It's like, we need, if this is our day one big game, we need an absolute certainty
that we can get it
that
done.
We can hit this date before we announce it, and we may not be able to do that until April.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. They said 2025. I think that's fair. And I think it just, yes, it totally points to things are still happening as it's happening. You know what I mean? Like, just because you reveal something doesn't mean like all the plans and all the things are like chiseled down stone forever. Things are going to keep changing. We're still going to get a ton more info along the way, and things will reveal itself. And then, you know, and then once they're, you know, absolutely 100% sure about stuff, we'll get more solid dates and solid lineup of games. But yeah, in this moment, you know, after the reveal, things are still very fluid, I think, at Nintendo.
Yeah, especially when people have said, like, well, maybe this was not the original launch target for this thing, and maybe the games were taking longer. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense, because they're moving into a more complex type of development where you need bigger assets. You know, working in 4K, the company experienced a similar growing pain going into HD years ago. So I buy all of that. And I have a lot of sympathy for them too, because this is very hard, this thing that they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, transitions are hard, period. But absolutely, this is one thing that the pressure is totally on. You are sort of like, you're kind of beholden to the idea of like these games and the things that people are going to be experiencing on a Switch 2 is going to make or break that system. And all the developers are under that pressure to deliver. And it's very difficult. So,
all right, let's go beat by beat through the video and see kind of what new thoughts we have, or what new information, or what new insights has the community kind of picked up.
Yeah.
So let's just start, you know, at the beginning, we saw the original Switch morphing into the Switch 2. We saw the larger screen with a very small bezel. We saw the detail, the, you know, very close details of the console body with that additional USB-C input on the top. We saw the new kickstand with the wider range of motion. Any of this giving you any new feelings or thoughts?
You and I both were like, why would they zoom in on the USB-C? It seemed like a feature that they were really like wanting people to take note of, that there are maybe the dual USB-C inputs. Someone did say that I thought was interesting that the top USB input could be used to attach other things than sure. just like a charger. So I thought that was kind of an interesting idea. Like you could maybe attach a camera to it or have other things that attach to it. Here comes the We Speak again. Just kidding. But I think maybe that's the reason why there was some additional highlighting of that. But yeah, it is an interesting smallish kind of detail to really focus on.
I am glad that other people pointed that out as maybe a bit odd. Sometimes I see things that just stand out to me, but this one was like, yeah, why did they kind of linger on that for a moment? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's a breadcrumb for something to come.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for me, like it's probably the most obvious thing about this system, but I think once people start to play it with and go hands-on with it, the size is going to be just a real kind of wow moment for people of, oh my gosh, this screen is significantly larger than even an OLED, significantly larger than a Steam, significantly larger than most devices people are used to. And it seems like it's probably not going to be an OLED screen, but I think just the size itself is going to be really impressive to see these games in more detail than they have before. And then, you know, the Joy-Con too, like those buttons were really small. It was not the most comfortable thing for everybody. So I just think the bigger form factor is going to be really well received. And maybe people are kind of just sleeping on because it's so obvious. You just don't see that many people talking about it.
It's kind of like when we went from 3DS to 3DS XL.
Which was huge, a huge difference.
It was such a, like, I could not.
You can't go back.
Go back. Exactly. Like when we, you know, made that transition and we all experienced that, you know, going to that bigger, you know, 3DS XL screen. And then we would go back to the original 3DS and we were like, how did we ever play on this thing? It's so teensy. The screens are so small. So I do think that once people get it into their hand, this is why the hands-on part of it is so important, because hard to see, hard to really envision and have that experience in a fly-by hardware video of what that size, what that screen size really means, really feels like until you get it into your hands. But I do think once you like experience it for yourself, you will have that moment. Like we will all have that moment where like, oh my gosh, the original Switch screen is so small. How did we ever play on this thing? Like, we can never go back. So I think that is going to be like a kind of a revelation that we all have. My only like pause on that, I love a bigger screen. I think that's going to be great. I just hope it's not too heavy. I'm very small. Oh. My hands are small. And I don't want it.
Do you find the Steam Deck to be heavy?
Yes, very.
Really? Okay.
Too heavy for me.
I think it will be more streamlined than that. It may be physically larger, but I do think it will be more streamlined than the Steam Deck.
Even the Portal, the PlayStation Portal, like I can play that for a long time, but towards the very end of like an hours long gameplay, it does start to get a little heavy. Oh,
and that's just a screen.
The controllers are like
the controller,
kind of
but there's no like guts of the machine inside of it, really.
I know. Huh.
Okay. Well, that's something to keep as a true, like all ages device where a Steam Deck maybe is not.
Right.
Like could a little kid, you know, play with this comfortably?
Or a very small petite woman.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't, I mean, I really play 90% in handheld mode too. So I need this thing to be like comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
So okay. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on it.
Huh. Let's talk about the Joy-Con, because that was the thing that got the next big showcase. So again, obviously they're bigger, and there's that new approach to the colors, kind of inverted from the current Joy-Con, where the thing itself, in what we saw, was black, and then it kind of had some blue and red highlights, like around the sticks and in other places.
Right.
And people were noting, like, well, this is color coding, because red's, you know, corresponds to the right side, because you can actually see the red when the Joy-Con is off.
Right.
There's red inside. And some people have pointed out, is this going to be a problem when I, you know, they want to sell us all these Joy-Con. If I mm-hmm. buy a yellow Joy-Con and I'm connecting it to the thing on the, on with that's red on the inside, is that just going to be aesthetically yuck? You're our aesthetic lead around here. So I'm going to let you go off on this.
Ew.
It's an ew. Okay.
I don't like that. Why did they do that? Why didn't they just leave the inside?
I had not
black?
Realized this until I got pointed out. I'm like, yeah, that is a little strange.
That's weird. Unless there are no new Joy-Con. That's the one that you... No, they're going to want to sell you Joy-Con. Yeah, they're going to want to sell... Yeah, I was weirded out by that. I was really weirded out by that. I do like it that it's a little bit more subtle, the colors in general. Like, it's like, yes, you get a little pop of blue, a little pop of red or whatever, but it's not as like in your face as the original Switch was, like with like a full, you know, red and blue Joy-Con, which always looked kind of yuck to me. But yeah, I'm curious about that. It's not the most like modern, clean aesthetic. You know what I mean? When you have these kinds of like things like that. And if you do get a Joy, let's say you get, you know, different color Joy-Con and then like the inside of your Switch is still that very, very bright red and bright blue color. It doesn't feel cohesive. It doesn't feel modern to me.
Well, unlike you, I know left from right. So give me one that's just all black, please. That's what I want. Oh boy. and then people were pointing out, you could see closely when they had that close up of the Joy-Con coming on and off on the console body. There's some little dangling attachment thing.
Right. Yeah. It's
on
like
the
a little
inside.
Connector.
And people were pointing out like, ooh, the way that's just kind of hanging out there looks like that could break off if you under the wrong circumstances. Are you worried about this?
Very worried. Oh, no. Very. I am kind of klutzy, as you know. I have dropped my Switch a lot of times. And sometimes the Joy-Con do come like
shoot off
and stuff. But yeah, I'm like, oh gosh, if you know, you have it in your bag or maybe it's just like sitting somewhere incorrectly, that does look very fragile, that little piece. Also thinking about people with young kids, you know, if you get this for your kid and oops, $400 down the drain. Yeah, exactly. I mean, beyond the fact that it just looks kind of like delicate, I also wonder about like the connection itself. Does it that, you know, the on and off all the time, does that wear it out? Is that like a point of...
Am I going to have to blow on it like an NES cartridge?
It kind of looks like the inside of an NES cartridge actually, doesn't it? It just have those like the little chips along the edge. God, I hope not. But it's like, is this going to be like this headache, you know, where it's like, oh no, my connector is not reading correctly. Now the Joy-Con are not as responsive. Do I need to clean that thing? Is it getting dust? I mean, I don't know. All of it just feels kind of odd to me.
I'm filing this under I don't know, because yes, it does look strange and potentially fragile, but you know, they do a lot of testing for these things in most cases, and for them to have just like a super obvious, and for them to zoom into it in their first promotional video, it's like they've probably thought about this, but I do want to see. People will look into this once they get their hands on it.
You can test, but I'm gonna test so much.
I'm going to wait and see. Well, they're definitely dropping Switch 2 somewhere. Some guy's job is like, whoops, I dropped. You should do that job.
I should do that. I volunteer. I drop it like once a day.
We saw, so next, they teased the mouse capabilities.
Right.
And they even put the little wrist strap thing on to make it look like a mouse.
A little mouse tail.
Like running around. Did that gross you out because you don't like mice?
I don't like mouse tails.
It's not cute. Like the original Switch dog.
No, but did you see someone made a thing where it's the Switch dog?
I did,
but
again,
the little mouse thing.
I know you
don't
like mice.
I don't really like mice, which is ironic because that's my Chinese zodiac sign. Anyways,
so they didn't go so far as to confirm it, but they definitely were teasing it and mm-hmm. showing, you know, hey, this is something that you're going to be doing. And there was also, you know, we did not notice this in the moment, but people pointed out there is another piece that will probably come with the system that goes onto the edge of the Joy-Con that holds onto
the wrist strap,
the new wrist strap.
Correct.
And makes sense because if you're going to need to put this down on a table and move it around, there's some friction that's created there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want my Joy-Con getting ground to dust like a mortar and pestle on my table. So let something else take the brunt of that.
You're like making like a papaya salad or something. yes, that is, I mean, if you're, yeah, if you're going to be using it like a mouse, you're going to need to have some kind of, you know, way to protect it. Yeah. Do you need like a mouse pad?
Right. So
like,
I do want to ask, like,
need for this?
Is this a cool feature, or is this, you know, the perpetual, you know, new gimmick, the new HD rumble?
See, I'm worried about this because I think it all hinges on how Nintendo and other developers implement this feature. It's going to be that thing where it's like, what game is going to support mouse control? Like, yes, first-person shooters, maybe Pikmin or Animal Crossing or whatever. Like,
oh, if Pikmin definitely will.
And just
Pikmin's all over
those
this.
Little jerks. No, I won't be playing that. Thank you. And I won't be using that mouse for that. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's one of those things where, like, is it one of those, like, we're going to implement this for, like, the first two games, you know, to show off this new feature. And then everyone's like, I kind of want it. I don't want to deal with this thing, like, anymore. I don't want to deal with this, having to implement this control scheme. Like, that's annoying. I don't know. It remains to be seen.
I'm optimistic about it, but I also am realistic about it's not a you know, there's so many ways that people play. I don't know how natural it's going to be. Because when you're using a mouse, you're sitting down at a desk or at a table or something.
Yeah.
And there's so many more ways that you play a game. So, like, for me, like, I'm typically sitting on a couch. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. like, well, what am I going to need to do? Like, am I going to need to get, like, a book off a shelf and put that next to me? And is that going to be comfortable for me to do versus just holding a controller? So, I don't know. Like, I want to be excited for this, but then sometimes I think more deeply about it. It's like, and that could get kind of annoying or cumbersome.
This does not feel like a relaxing thing.
And this is why I don't play PC games, because I want to relax.
Same. Yeah, I think for me, it's so much easier for me to, like, you know, and when I say sit on a couch, I don't mean like sit on a couch. Really? I'm like this on a couch. It was control, you know, like
prone.
You know, you need to be, I don't know, like, when I play games, I'm not like, I'm at my desk, I'm going to click my mouse. Like, I don't really want to do that. I've been at my desk all day working and editing videos with a mouse. So I would prefer to, like, lay down.
Well, again, this does open the door for the true Microsoft AAA software, which is Excel. Forget Halo. This is the ultimate Microsoft cash cow, big franchise for decades. Get excited. It's Microsoft Excel.
Pivot tables, here we come. Can't wait. Game of the year, Microsoft Excel.
So yeah, I'm really curious about that. And you know that when they do these events, they're going to have manufactured the most ideal setting for you to do this. So I do want to see people kind of push back and be like, well, can I sit this other way? Or what if I get rid of this table? Or can I do it this way?
Exactly.
I want to see people kind of push that arrangement that they have.
Man, 2-3 Switch featuring Microsoft Excel with the Nintendo Joy-Con
mouse. How do I
look
a cat with a mouse? Come on. That's not
cool. It's going to be incredible. How do I eat a sandwich with a mouse? Can't wait to
Well, you
out.
Guess what? You won't, because there's
no IR camera.
Great segue. There's no IR camera on this thing. It seems... not really.
Who cares?
A great loss. It was kind of neat. Like, the couple things that used it were neat, like Ring Fit, like taking your pulse. Like, it was neat.
Fine.
But it's also like a huge.
So gimmicky.
It's a huge whatever, honestly.
Yeah.
It was used so sparingly. It's like, yeah, right. That's whatever resource or space, devote that to something else.
Exactly. Not really like losing sleep over the loss of the IR camera here.
Now, one of the things that was much discussed and shown clearly in the leaks is this C button.
Oh, yeah.
Big letter C right on there. And people had all sorts of theories about what that is. Yet, in this video, it was just a blank, smooth button. I thought this was lame.
This was so.
Put the C on the button, please.
This was so lame. Like, we are going to put our head in the sand.
Oh, you're
going to
be surprised. It's a secret.
We're going to pretend like none of this ever happened. Yeah. We're still in control. We're going to Photoshop out the C.
Maybe it's not a C. And then 3 months later, yeah, it's a C.
It's a C. It's so lame. Like, just put it on there. You don't have to explain it right now. No one is expecting you to, like, explain every detail right now. But don't try to be, like, one of those bad liars that, like, you know, the dog ate my homework. You know, like, no, Nintendo, please. Put the seat back on the button, okay?
Yeah. So I'm very eager to see what this does, because we obviously don't know, but I just thought it was lame that
it they was very
basically
lame.
Erased that out.
Yeah, very lame.
And then finally, lastly, on the Joy-Con, for all the talk about the magnets, I mean, what it kind of was a big nothing. You know, we you got the new sound effect with the clap or whatever, the slap, the clap, whatever it is.
Oh, the slap.
But,
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really, like, go into detail about the attachment. I mean, and then they had that one scene where it was in the grip and it was doing like a sideways sort of like doop, like that.
Yeah, because that's how you get them on and off.
Yeah, it's like
it's not up and down. It's like a wings kind of thing.
Wings, yes, yeah. Exactly. So great. I mean, as long as that thing doesn't fall off, it's fine with me. As long as it doesn't wear out and fall off, it's fine with me. Does that mean that I can attach it to my fridge?
I don't think you should do that.
Oh,
I don't think you should. Also, most modern refrigerators don't take magnets.
Mine doesn't, actually.
Yeah.
I have a dishwasher that has magnets on it.
Okay. Okay.
I can't do that with my Joy-Con. I can't store it on my dishwasher or my fridge. No?
You can do what you'd like.
Do you think it would ruin it?
I don't know. Again, we'll leave it up to the intrepid testers of some website or some YouTube channel that's not us. There was the moment when the thing snapped on, it made the sound, and we saw the new logo with the name Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some amount of hand-wringing online of like, oh, well, we kind of knew this, but it's a little bland, it's a little boring. Now that it's actually what it is, what do you think of the name?
It's very much in the vein of like, let's not get too cute with it, you know, like just like this trailer. It was very straightforward. And I think that they are too scared to get cute and too scared to be like, I'm going to have a conceptual name and logo that no one will get and have to explain it to you, like the Wii U logo. So I understand where they're coming from. I get it. I feel like this is a very safe approach to take. It's very straightforward. It's not confusing when you're in a store. One says Switch and one says Switch 2. So you'll know that they are different, hopefully. So yeah, I get it. I mean, it is boring, but I think that this is the right approach for them because you just don't want to
I agree. Be confused. And I think there are bigger topics on this system to debate versus the name, which will be highly functional, will do its job. And then, you know, with all these names, like within a week, it's like, that's just what it is. I remember when the Wii name came out and people were like, oh my gosh, can you, what a ridiculous thing. And then in a week it's like, oh yeah, the Wii this, the Wii that. Like, we just moved on.
Just get used to it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The next big thing, we got to look at this Mario Kart experience, not a game. It's an experience. So no title.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently up to 24 racers.
Yeah.
Because we saw a whole lot.
And then in the starting line, there's
24 different
spots
there.
Mm-hmm.
Seems cool, but I did have the thought of, what does this mean for classic tracks, which have been such a bread and butter part of Mario Kart? And something I frankly look forward to. To see kind of how they remix these. And I was like, I don't know if all of these courses, you can just dump 24 racers and have it work. That might be too chaotic, too crazy. Like they can always make some tweaks, but like if you have to widen, it's like the LA freeway, you know, you just keep adding lanes. And it's like, what are we doing here?
Like, yeah, I do wonder if the 24 racer tracks are going to be specific to the new tracks for this new game. And then the original tracks from, you know, the classic tracks or the tracks from Mario Kart 8 or whatever content was in previous Mario Kart games would just be 12 players. That would be fine. You know, that would be fine. You would have like new tracks for the bigger racing experience of 24 people. And then you can still play your classic tracks with up to 12. I can see that being all right. You seem disappointed.
No, I don't think you can do that.
Why?
If that's one of the big things, or it's like, you know, the huge Mario Kart experience, I think you can't and then have a big asterisk of like, well, not for everything. You know what else? I'm going to say one other thing that might ruin your day. Mm-hmm. You know what else was 24 players?
Mario Party
Jamboree Coupathlon. And we were all excited about doing 24 player online races. And you know what happened?
It was eight players
and then a bunch of bots. So if this ends up being 12 players online and 12 bots, forget it. Do not do this. I'm telling you now, Nintendo, I'm waving my finger, don't do this. Don't think about this.
That would be so disappointing.
Do not.
That would be so disappointing. I was so disappointed when this happened with Mario Party.
And they dropped that at like a week before the game came out, too.
It was such a bummer. Such a bummer. Yeah, this is like, and the online experience for Mario Kart has always been so good. You know, it's always been such a smooth experience. Like, come on, guys, figure it out. You know, like, this is a great way to expand Mario Kart to make it feel bigger and more of that, like, almost like Battle Royale type of Mario Kart feeling, which is, I think it's really cool. But I really hope that they figure it out so that it is a very smooth experience online and that this truly is like sort of what they're setting up to be. You know, they're probably going to have some tagline that's like the biggest Mario Kart ever, totally. You know, like totally. That's going to be like the hook for this thing. So,
Or as it relates to classic tracks, I wonder, you know, since they really did so many classic tracks all the way through the booster course passes, if they're going to be like, you know what, like for the first, I don't know, year or however long of this, it's like, we're really focusing on original tracks. It's all original tracks. Like maybe we'll do those later, but we need to emphasize what's new about this. Cause people have been playing Mario Kart 8 for literally 10 years, literally 10 years.
We
have been having a love affair with this game.
Yes.
And you need to do Still something is. To get their attention. So like, hey, we got new stuff over here. It's not just the same, you know, it's not just the same Rainbow Roads all over again, but they're coming. They'll come later.
Yeah, that would be fine. Honestly, that would be fine. Like, I'm very excited for how they're going to expand and like, what is the next step for Mario Kart,
right.
You know? Like, because it's just such a huge part of, like, your Nintendo experience. And it becomes, like, you know, a lasting part of the entire hardware generation. Like, yes, we have been playing Mario Kart for 10 years because it's good. And it's always fun. And I want this next iteration of Mario Kart to be like, I will play this next one for 10 years too, because it's going to be that good and that fun. But I do still have really high hopes for this though. I'm really excited about it.
So the graphics did not wow us, but it's also kind of like a whatever. Like it was just like, you know, flash on the screen. We did get a look at the updated designs of characters and carts, some of which are more subtle than others.
Yeah.
But people pointed out, you know, it's kind of going back to like a classic era of, you know, the hand-drawn Mario where everything's just a little bit smaller, a little bit cuter.
Cuter, rounder.
Look at Bowser looked like literally a circle. It's like Bowser's late on his New Year's resolution. Like this is the thick Bowser.
I like it.
Big ball of Bowser stuffed into a cart.
So cute.
And then the carts do look more kind of toy-like.
Toy cars, yeah.
So there are versus like the really sleek looking carts of 8 and 8 Deluxe. So there is some differentiation there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, everybody immediately noticed like, hey, Donkey Kong's looking a little different.
Yeah.
And I still don't know how I feel about this redesign, but I want to ask you how you feel.
Yeah, I think that it definitely looks closer to the movie Donkey Kong that we were talking about that when we did our reaction video. I just like it when the character models for these types of games featuring Mushroom Kingdom characters are expressive. Because I think like Mario Party Jamboree is a great example of how they're not expressive. It is like such a boring like render. We laugh and joke about soulless Mario, like no light behind the eyes. And then you have like really expressive like Mario Wonder Mario. And it's like, yes, can we get like those kinds of expressive characters into a Mario Kart game? So I kind of get the sense that that is where we're going based on these new character models.
You didn't like it when Toad is driving along and it's like,
yeah.
And then he's back to driving.
Oh, no. Like that? No, I don't like that. It's really boring.
Oh.
So I think that if the redesigns are all sort of hint, like based on how we can make these character models like expressive and full of life and, you know, really show their personalities through these new models, then I'm here for that, you know, but we have to wait and see.
I want to see more of the DK before I say for sure. To me, it's like the eyes are too recessed into this dark.
There's too much like black
cavity.
Stuff. Yeah.
It's like, you know, in some Ghibli movies, there are those creatures that are just kind of like dust balls that have eyes. It was like, that's kind of what it was looking like.
The you little were looking, soot creatures.
Like he was looking less humanoid than he did before.
Mm.
And obviously he's a monkey or a gorilla or whatever.
He's a Kong.
He's not. Yes. Sorry. He's not a human. Is Mario even human? We know, whatever. But I don't know. It seemed like kind of a step back in the evolutionary line. This is like
he got de-evolved, like in the Mario movie.
Cro-Magnon, Donkey Kong.
They de-evolved him.
Dennis Hopper got his hands on Donkey Kong.
Got a tiny head now, a teeny tiny head.
And I thought, you know what? I did really love the Rare Donkey Kong design, but I do just have the question of like, what is their plan for Donkey Kong here? Because we just opened this giant theme park that's based on the Rare stuff and the recent retro stuff, and now you have this new thing in the movie, this new thing that maybe you're introducing in these games. It feels like really messy.
Is there some sort of Donkey Kong transition that what we is need happening? To do?
Yeah. Who is in charge of this?
The Donkey Kong makeover.
I'm afraid that nobody is in charge of it.
That's probably why it's messy. Everybody's just
like, oh, I like this. I like that. I'm going to do a different one.
Then you got a Glizzy dog at the theme park. And Donkey Kong looks like a Ghibli character and Rare and whatever. Who knows what's going on? We have to see more to find out.
And does this imply for the other Kongs? Like, what do the other Kongs look like as a result of this de-evolution? Oh, like, what does Diddy Kong look like?
What does Cranky Kong look like?
Well, he's youthful again. He's youthful and
smart. Oh, he de-evolved into a youthful handsome. Kong.
Yeah, he's doing backflips again. we saw this new track that actually had there's a name. Mario Brothers Circuit. I didn't realize that we had that until I watched it for the 20th time. It's this kind of Route 66, kind of Western Cars. USA style track. I think it looks really cool.
Somebody went to Disneyland, Cars ride.
In the background, you can see this kind of ramp thing, this like big ramp with a turn that people are going to go on. Obviously, the anti-gravity is not going to be in this, but I think that's fine. I mean, like,
couldn't really tell anyway.
Once you started racing in 8, it was like, I'm just racing. I'm not really noticing the gravity. So I think that's a fine change to make.
I hope we still get like the gliders and stuff though.
Oh, sure.
I think those.
I think we will. Yeah.
I really like those.
People, there's been a cottage industry already of people doing, you know, the 30-minute analysis on 10 seconds of this stuff. They found some interesting things.
Yeah.
People have been like seeing that. Like it seems like there's different maybe routes through these tracks, like something like a Mario Kart tour or something where you can customize what version of the track you want to do.
Okay.
Some people have gone so far as to say, is this open world? I don't know what that means when they say that, because you're still on a track and you're still racing. I can understand them saying, oh, it's a bigger track, there's different branching paths.
Or is there like, instead of like the cups that you go into, is there like an overworld?
I don't know.
And you're like driving around and you go into like an area. Yeah.
I think that's
like
a cool idea. I don't know how you get to that conclusion from this 10 seconds. So I don't know about that. And then people pointed out like they've found like gas tanks on the side of the cars. And there was something under that cute Yoshi cafe that looked like a gas tank. And it's like, is that kind of replacing coins of, you know, get more gas to go faster? Or can you run out of gas? I don't know. This is pure speculation.
Pit crew?
From people doing, you know, 2-hour video essays on 10 seconds of footage. So take it as you will. But the theories are out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to see the theories because it just means that this world of Mario Kart, the universe of Mario Kart, still has a lot of opportunity. I mean, the franchise has existed forever. We all, again, just love and still love Mario Kart 8 Deluxe so much, and we play it all the time. But the imagination, like the things that you can still do to push a Mario Kart game forward is still like, feels like there's still a lot of opportunity. So I think that's exciting. Like, I hope that Nintendo doesn't like rest on their laurels on this. I hope that they like really push, like truly push this series forward. And I look forward to like zanier ideas, like new fuel systems or an open world or customizable tracks. Like, I hope that they are taking those ideas, you know, like into consideration. So, yeah.
So as this was playing, you did see the system docked, and notably, it was the same kind of design of the dock where you can see more of the screen, but the screen was just blank. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that people were speculating about was, is there going to be some little strip of information that's visible on the screen while it's docked? It seems like no. And I think that's the right decision because people have docks that stuff it under their TV or face it the other way to make it fit. I don't think that should be, if there's any sort of vital information, like you want to put the time or something.
I'm not looking at my,
like nobody's looking at that.
Why? Yeah.
I don't know.
If you doctor switch, you're looking at the TV.
I'm just debunking rumors here, but I think that's the right way to be.
Yeah. And again, you don't need to do something that no one's going to use. Like,
right.
It's not a problem that's like out there for you to solve. You know
right.
what I mean? So,
and then in this segment, we did see the new Joy-Con grip. And again, the new way for that to attach the Joy-Con to. I don't know how many people actually play that way. I don't really play that way. So it's like, I kind of don't care.
Give me Joy-Con grip.
Give me a pro controller, please.
Oh yeah, I don't use that.
Yeah, I don't really use that
unless I really have to, because like someone has my
yeah.
Like you're playing multiplayer and like I only have so many
exactly.
pro controllers. Yeah.
So then we got into this kind of string of informational slides.
Yeah.
That were kind of the second half of this video, starting with this big one about backwards compatibility that had all this legalese on it. So it's, play Switch 2 exclusive games as well as Switch games. Certain Switch games may not be compatible. More details will be shared later.
Mm-hmm.
And we did see they had a Mario Wonder game card for the Switch going into both an original Switch and a Switch 2. So
yeah.
It's, implies, it's just one slot on the Switch 2. All the stuff, if you're playing physical, all the stuff's going to go in there. And then they did have a line on this in the press release. I'll just read it. It's basically saying the same thing. Nintendo Switch 2 plays Nintendo Switch 2 exclusive games, as well as both physical and digital Nintendo Switch games. Certain Nintendo Switch games may not be supported on or fully compatible with Nintendo Switch 2. Details will be shared on the Nintendo website at a later date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is probably referring to, like, we were saying, like, Labo. Or like Mario Kart Home Circuit. You might not be able
right.
to play
Ring
those.
Fit Adventure
Ring,
is one
Ring Fit,
that
yeah.
people have pointed out. I am not concerned. I mean, all the backwards compatible systems have had some sort of a similar disclaimer, and it's always been a small number of things. I'm not worried that it's like, oh, half the games don't work.
No, I don't think that's the case.
No.
I think like 95% of the games will work, so you'll be fine.
I am really interested to learn more about this, though, because I think like this is how they can make this transition a lot better for themselves, is if they actually like kind of beef up and enhance the backwards compatibility experience. And it's so obvious why they revealed this months ago and are re-hitting it now. It's like, keep buying these games.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to play them. They're going to at the minimum, they're going to be on a bigger screen. But if there's some other sort of enhancement, it's like,
yeah.
there's going to be a boom on
upscaling.
I was like, oh yeah, I should go back and buy that game because I heard it had a bad frame rate and got fixed. Or it's like, I was always interested
yeah.
in that. And there's kind of a lull. I'm going
like
to go back to
that. Especially those late life Switch games that
right.
were getting into some of the technical problems. If they had a way to fix it or even a way to make the graphics look
right.
nicer with some of that, some of the technology.
This happened briefly.
That'd be cool.
In the PS4 to PS5 transition, but it feels like it could happen in a bigger, more substantial way if they really nail what you can do with an original Switch game.
Yeah, this is a big opportunity for them, really. Like, a lot of people at this point, once you reveal a system, just sort of check out of your stuff and wait for the new thing, the new games, and they basically stop buying stuff altogether. But if they can continue to share more about how it's more than just put your old cartridge into the new system and play the game as is, and other enhancements or other ways that experience is going to be better on a Switch 2, like that would be great for
yeah.
them.
So then they confirmed the Switch 2 Direct for April 2nd, which people
yes.
pointed out was confusingly, in the European version.
Oh, yeah, it was
they
like...
They switch it. It was
they saw
4-2 it was, versus 2-4.
2-4. That was February 4th.
Wait,
no.
it's that soon? No, it's in April. So, people have pointed out that it's about the same amount of time versus the Switch 1 getting confirmed in that event that happened in January.
Yeah.
I think it feels longer because with that one, you had all the holidays, which are kind of like dead time in the industry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other things happening in the holidays to kind of keep your eye focused on the then and now versus this. It's like, we're just in kind of, this is the Q1 doldrum in the industry. And all you can do is kind of twiddle your thumbs and speculate and get excited.
Yeah. But the thing with this is that because we're not so surprised or like, excited. We might be a little excited, but we're not as surprised as to what a Switch 2 is and does. Like, we're pretty, I think pretty, all of us kind of know what it's going to do. It's really the games that are the things that
you just want to get down to business with these games.
Will excite and really get us to like get on board with this or not get on board. So from that respect, I do think it's a long time. It's a long time. It's like 3 months to wait for a hint of what the launch lineup is going to be. Like, that's a long time.
Yeah. And they didn't tell you what time of day that is either. So get ready to wait until 5 a.m. shadow drop of that. April 2nd.
Oh, boy. I think they're going to pre-promote this one.
Day before April Fools. Oh, no.
April Fools.
They love to do this stuff around April Fools.
They do.
It's not good.
It's not great. What day? So April 2nd must be it's a Wednesday. Okay. All right.
Great. Well, at least we can clear our schedule for that.
Sure.
Then these hands-on events, which we learned about. Mm-hmm. And so they obviously prepared different regional versions for this, because on the website, they had the full run of all of these.
Yeah.
And there's about, I'd say, like, you know, over a dozen of these that are going to be happening worldwide. It's a good number.
Yeah.
So in North America, it's happening in New York, Los Angeles, Dallas, and Toronto. And yeah, a good number in Europe. Interestingly, only one in Japan, which is at Tokyo, which is at Makuhari, where they had Tokyo Game Show. So that's going to be a major, large venue.
Yeah.
The signups for these are going live as we are recording this.
Oh, it's like now. Yeah.
And I think we need to see if this is possible. But we were talking about, like, well, we should just somehow try to apply to all of these and go to whichever one we get admitted to, because it's a lottery system through your Nintendo account. They may lock you. By the time this is out, people will know. You may only be allowed to enter into one. But why? If I'm willing to travel cross-country to play a Switch 2, let me enter into all these.
Yeah, I hope so. At least you and I should coordinate and enter different ones.
Yes.
So give us a better chance, maybe.
Right, but they're all running after the Direct, starting in early April through the latest ones. Oh, the latest ones are actually the start of June.
June.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
The Seoul, Korea goes through June. There's a couple, Hong Kong and Taipei are to be announced, but the main ones in North America and Europe are basically running through all of April and into early May.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to try. We'll see if we can get into one of these. But yeah.
We certainly won't be invited to one.
We won't be invited. No.
What if we just show up?
You can try.
And put on a sad face for somebody and hope to recognize somebody.
That probably would work, actually.
All right. That's a few
people.
Plan D.
Yeah. I mean, just reach out to some people, too.
So this is, you know, again, very much out of the Switch One playbook, where they had the January event, which kind of rolled into these public events that went on and on. Really effective, really important for people to see it for themselves. This feels like a very important activity for them.
Yes, yes. Again, it's going to make a huge difference when you can hold it in your hand and actually experience some of these games, for you to really understand how different it is and if it's worth it to you. So this will be like, again, the make or break moments of this for them, that Direct in April, followed by these events, will be what will or will not convince people that this new thing is cool and they want to buy it. Yeah.
What does the timing of these give you any insight into the potential release date?
I think the release date is still summer.
So, like, you still feel June.
June, July,
because they would want to wrap these up.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-launch, right?
Right. These are preview events.
Yeah.
I think July, maybe.
Okay. June, July.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's fair.
I feel like that's still the right timing.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I can roll out of my Amsterdam May 9th slot and then go straight to a retailer and be told that all the pre-orders are gone. So, great. So, you know, just big picture, we're like a day later on this big reveal. We did a poll on our Twitter after it happened. You know, people seem pretty happy about it. Jeff Keighley did his usual grade thing.
Yeah,
people
either
gave it an A or a B. How do you feel about it with a day behind it?
I think it, because of these leaks, and I guess even without these leaks, it was what was expected. Nothing about this thing like really was a huge surprise or anything like that. But it wasn't like bad in any way. Like the stuff that, they showed really aligned with what we had knew all along about what this next thing probably was going to be like. You know, we kind of, even a year ago, we were talking about how, you know, they're probably not going to do anything zany. They're probably going to keep the same form factor. You know, it's not going to be like a totally different system in any way. It's really going to be an iteration of the original Switch. And that is exactly what it is. Nothing about this like took me by surprise or blew me away or anything like that, but it was as expected. And I think it, you know, for all intents and purposes, it looks good. And obviously I want to play it and see what games are coming on it, but generally it looks good. It looks like it's solid. So
yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, it may not be as flashy as some of the other console reveals. I think it was very functional. I think it did what it was supposed to. It seems like people are just in general really excited by it. So, you know, on one hand, the leaks took some of the wind out of their sails. But, it, you know, are those necessarily going to hurt them long term? As far as they step, you know, further along, you know, marketing beat to marketing beat, I don't think so. So I think they, you know, for whatever they were looking to accomplish with this first reveal, I do think they accomplished that.
Yeah, and let's say the leaks never happened, and you're just watching this video, this reveal exactly, you know, as we saw it yesterday. Even if you didn't know any of this information beforehand, would you have been surprised that it was a slightly bigger Switch with updated Joy-Con, with two USB-C ports, with, you know, a game Mario Kart? Like, I don't know if you would.
I mean, more so than vastly
different.
Literally seen the thing a dozen times in the weeks before.
Sure, but it would have been like, as it was coming, you would have been like, yeah, I kind of figured this was going to be it, right? It wasn't going to be like, oh my god, I didn't see that coming. You know, that there was never going to be that moment for them without the leaks.
Right. So a lot of time between now and April. Let's talk about what might happen between now and that time. A lot of indie studios are being opportunistic and confirming their game for Switch 2. Mm-hmm. I think probably whether they have a dev kit currently or not. If they have an intention to do that, they're going to say it. And I think, you know, given the circumstance, that can be a smart thing to do right now.
Yeah.
We haven't seen an avalanche of game confirmations coming out. It seems to have been mostly focused on these indies so far.
Yeah. Nothing huge yet. It's not like, you know, Square Enix is like, Final Fantasy is coming. But definitely there is a few people that are excited, I think trying to capitalize on the general excitement of the announcement to get their games out there. It's more of a marketing ploy than anything else. But yeah, a few smaller things have been.
Yeah.
I just think this is like the beginning of it though. It's like, once the thing is finally revealed, you do, as an indie, as a third party developer, you do get that the door is now open for you to make those announcements, and you can plan your own announcements now because that the system has officially been revealed.
I saw some people saying like, oh, well now we're going to see trailers for Switch 2 games. And I would encourage people to maybe pump the brakes on that, because even though the system is confirmed, you know, all we've seen is 10 seconds of a Mario Kart game, and you better believe Nintendo is going to be careful about the first perception and first showing of like a proper game trailer for a game on the Switch 2, and they're going to want to control that. So while people are probably free to say, yes, I'm making a game for Switch 2, I don't think they're necessarily free to just release a trailer of like, yeah, this is my game running on the Switch 2. That would be chaos.
That's absolutely not going to happen. I think Nintendo is probably holding those types of trailers or just, you know, games running on Switch 2 for April when they do the official direct. I think some games obviously are going to be revealed in that direct from third parties and from indie developers. But that, I think that's going to be the date where people can start to more freely release game footage from a Switch versus it coming, like, you know, in the days after this reveal. So
we have Pokemon Day coming up in a little over a month. And I think we're all expecting that to be the big return of Pokemon Legends Zed.
Zed Alpha.
And, you know, again, I think this is a really good place for this game to be, given all the news about backwards compatibility, where it's like, oh, it's not just a bump. It's like, oh, it's not the bummer that it might have been that it's just a Switch game, because we have this possibility of backwards compatibility. Yeah. And it's like, oh. This could be something even more than what I'm seeing now running on a Switch when I'm eventually playing it on a Switch 2. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a good place for them to be, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see what Pokemon pulls out of the hat on Pokemon Day. That's probably the next big sort of official announcement after this reveal.
Right.
We might get a little trickle of news here or there, but the big official thing that happens next is going to be Pokemon Day. And whatever games that they're showing in there, it will be a good clue for how it's going to work going from original Switch to Switch 2, or how that transition is going to look like. So,
yeah. And then a popular question that we get a lot is, do you think there'll be a Super Bowl ad?
Had always said no.
Well, so I leaned maybe, now I also lean no.
Yeah.
Because the Super Bowl is, I forget the exact date. I think it's the first half of February. And just knowing how little they have announced, like, I don't know what you put in a huge mainstream ad that works having shared so little information.
Exactly.
Versus in 2017, you've had your big blowout event. Mm-hmm. You can show more games. You can show it all. I just don't think it works for a mass audience now. So I'm going to move back on that.
Yeah, I also think they're still playing their expectation management game. They're nervous about this, honestly. Like, they don't want to disappoint people, because it's not going to be this, like, massive, flashy, new thing that original Switch was. This is an iteration of the original Switch. It's not going to be blow your socks off kind of thing. And that's why they did the Super Bowl ad in the first place, is to reach a mainstream audience with this, like, flashy new thing. But since this isn't that, I feel like they're going to be playing it a lot safer and not do these kinds of things, and just be really straightforward with the facts for how they're going to roll out information on this thing.
Mr. Furukawa is also a huge Jets fan, so he just might be salty about how that season went. That's a joke, by the way. That's not true. As you stare blankly as I make this comment.
What that means. What's a Jet?
The number one thing that I wrote here of what happens between now and April is more leaks. Just because we got past this milestone, it doesn't mean that the leaks are going to stop. Like, and there've been leaks that have already been happening. People have been talking about, oh, we figured out that they're going to ship around 20 million pieces of hardware this year. People have been really analyzing the graphics capabilities and kind of comparing it between the current Switch. And, you know, there are some things that we pointed out, like, you know, games, very unlikely to leak, but these all the system details of the hardware itself are just out there, and there's probably a lot more that can be mined from that. So that's probably going to continue. Like, will we know the C button before April 2nd? Seems very possible.
I think that these leaks were next level accurate, though. It was so crazy how, like, we were kind of half joking, but as we were going through that reveal trailer, if you had a checklist of every leak that has happened since, you know, last September or however, when they started really heating up to what was revealed in this trailer, it is like 100%, you get an A+, because you're checking everything off the list.
Well, it's not a rumor. It's literally a leak of the thing. So it's like, of course it's right. You had it.
Yeah.
You were holding it in your hand all along.
I mean, there was skepticism as to whether or not you actually did have it, but you certainly, you proved to everybody that you had it. So yes, I think more leaks are absolutely going to be in our future. We probably will find out a lot more information about things that we didn't see in that trailer, like the C button, like the mouse functionality, graphical capabilities, the motherboard, the whatever else. I think we'll see it all, honestly. They still have the games. They'll still have the games to surprise us with. So while everything about the specs of the hardware might come out before April, I think we can still look forward to getting some surprises with the games.
Lastly, and speaking of games, again, just kind of noting the strategic importance of the original Switch, what does that still have left in it? So we talked about Pokemon Legends. There's Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is locked in for March 20th. And obviously Donkey Kong Country Returns just came out a couple days ago. And then already, as the dust was settling on this reveal, people were saying like, oh, I'm hearing rumors of a Nintendo Direct in February that's focused on Switch 1 games, which amazing timing, I guess, but it does make sense that, that there will be more Switch games because it's going to have this kind of intertwined life for some period of time. And you may be giving people a great incentive to get these games. So I don't know if that's where we see Metroid Prime 4, get an update on that, or where it's like, hey, it's still an original Switch game, wink, wink. But could be an exciting Direct, kind of given where this is all. I just have a lot riding on all the backwards compatibility stuff now, which is funny because I famously was the person who said you didn't need to do it. I'll own that. It's fine.
This is the only thing that's getting you excited now because I'm very excited for this. Spoiled for you. Yeah, you know, I think that the transitions are always a bit rocky. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, it's kind of like what happened with PS4, PS5. It's like you do have this thing where like these games are working on both and you're still marketing the other thing. You're still trying to sell these, you know, these original Switch games. And you don't want people to just stop paying attention to you altogether until April 2nd because that would be bad. So they still need to do stuff to keep your attention. And because this Switch 2 is backwards compatible, you do have a much more tangible incentive to continue to pay attention. So I can see them doing a Switch 1 focused Direct in February, talking about giving updates to some of the games still on the roster for Switch 1. They might have other SKUs or other ways of, other things that might be part of their release on Switch 2 if and when that happens. But I think their goal right now is like keep you like locked in.
Yeah. Keep you engaged.
Nintendo does not want you to say like, okay, now that you've revealed the system, I'm going to turn everything off.
And take a break until April 2nd.
Ignore you until April 2nd. No, they're going to want to keep you in the ecosystem even more now than ever. So they're going to give lots of incentives for you to whether keep buying Switch games, keep playing your Switch, you know, until the day that the Switch 2 comes out, until they can handhold you and move you over. So, yeah, I don't see them taking their foot off the gas in terms of sharing stuff about Switch at all right now. So if people care and want to pay attention, that is a different story, but they're going to try really hard to try to keep you engaged.
Well, there you have it. That's all the big topics, all the big updates. Any closing thoughts from you?
We were right. No, just kidding. Wow. Well. No, just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I think my closing thought is that Nintendo is definitely cautiously stepping into this next era, knowing that they have a large bar to, you know, high bar to scale, and they're being careful with this transition. They're being a bit more cautious, a bit more safe with how they're approaching this, which is kind of how we saw this reveal play out. And that, I think that is their mindset, is that they are going to really be playing it safe. Safe can translate to boring for some people, but I think that is where they are right now. They're just, you know, they're really being really careful with how things are positioned, how they're getting out there with their messages, how they're going to keep you, you know, one foot on a Switch and one foot on a Switch too. They're just being real cautious. So we'll see how that plays out for them. But that's what I think they're thinking right now.
I'm really excited. I think this was, you know, again, maybe not the most flashy way to get things started, but we know kind of how swiftly things will ramp up from here. And I think there's a lot to look forward to. And we're going to be on top of this. So that's going to be great. Yeah. And also want to say, you know, just a big time in the Nintendo community. We had a lot of new people who joined our community recently. So just want to say welcome.
Yes.
If you'd like to check us out and support us on Patreon or at patreon.com/KitAndKrista, we got a whole mess of exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else that we've built up over the last couple of years. So check us out.
Yeah. In our Patreon, we're talking even more about Switch 2. We've had so many fun exclusive bonus Q&As talking about the announcement and our thoughts. And so it's just been a great time to share with our community. I think this is a very special time. Hardware launches don't come around very often. So I think we're all just having a great time experiencing it together. So yeah. Well, that's it for the emergency bonus podcast. We'll be back next week with our regularly scheduled podcast, obviously. And I'm sure we'll have lots of other videos from them then until now. But yes, can we go into the weekend now and feel very like relieved?
We did
that
it. We did this
we
week.
We did it.
Yes.
And then the Switch 2 is revealed and we can just enter into a new era of our lives.
That's
yes?
Right. Yes.
Okay. We are going to wrap it up and we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.